For a number of years, we've been observing the parinirvana of the Buddha each year at this time, just at the pitch of the winter. And so clearly now, every day, the light is coming on, trees are budding, bulbs are coming up. And we become so aware of the passing of time. When we bear witness to the Buddha's parinirvana, we're witnessing a transition from a life in time, passing into the timeless. This transition unfolds for each of us at some specific point in time. The Buddha's parinirvana flashes us out of time into the timeless, the realm of Buddha. When he transitions from an ordinary human body and comes to us down through millennia in his archetypal form and his teachings and the way that we can all discover and realize our true nature as he did. He didn't, during his lifetime, he didn't call himself the Buddha. When he referred to himself, he talked about being awake. I am awake. At one point, he was asked by someone who was in great suffering, "What are you? Are you a god?" And he said, "No, I am awake." At his death, he calls his followers together out in the Sala Grove, in the great outdoors where he spent most of his life as a spiritual seeker and guide to others, and lay down between two sala trees as if he was saying, "Oh, followers who want to be enlightened, come look. This is what awaits us all. Come see the very truth of my teachings. Come witness the nature of all conditioned things, with no exception." And there he was, suffering really deeply in great pain from dysentery, not being able to find any haven in the physical body. And he says these words, "It is only, Ananda, when the Tathagata, ceasing to attend to any outward thing, becomes plunged in that devout meditation of the heart, which is concerned with no bodily object. It is only then that the body of the Tathagata is at ease." Notice he doesn't say my body. But rather, he says the body of the Tathagata, which is interesting. He's pointing to the timeless one, that which he always was and always is and always will be. If he said my body, he would be referring to the dysentery-ridden flesh body with its life force draining away. The body that changes and unbinds in death. But he didn't. He said, the body of the Tathagata, that which doesn't change, the timeless. It is only, Ananda, when the Tathagata, ceasing to attend to any outward thing, becomes plunged in that devout meditation of heart, which is concerned with no bodily object. It is only then that the body of the Tathagata is at ease. We have been plunged in the devout meditation of heart this week. Following that quote, he goes on, he says, "Therefore, Ananda, be ye lamps unto yourselves. Rely on yourselves and do not rely on externals. Hold fast to the truth as a lamp. Seek salvation in the truth and do not look outside of yourselves." Every direction this week has been to look within, look directly, examine. The Buddha was not one to encourage belief, but rather investigation. All week, we have been engaged in profound investigation, extending the field of investigation ever more widely and minutely. So for 4 full days, we've all been practicing this devout meditation of heart. Many have experienced, if only briefly, this body of ease referred to by the Tathagata. And also encountering all the varieties of human mind and heart that get in the way of this body of ease that is our nature and that becomes so obscured by habit energies, difficult emotions, fixed expectations about what you should be experiencing, serious self-criticism, shame, despair about the meaning and direction of your life, despair that maybe this method as well, this practice as well, won't come through for you, even though it has for millions of people. And no matter what our states of mind, as soon as we have any glimmer of this ease, we become encouraged. And it helps us continue to do the very difficult, very demanding work that requires great determination and courage to be willing to look into places that have for so long been covered over, ignored, and frightening. The Sesshin container encourages and supports us to persist, even when we're practically not willing, with a wonderful schedule that is so ongoing. And so we together, side by side, practice diligence and great heart. To know directly for ourselves that full awareness that's concerned with no body object, that's concerned with no particular object, that sees all objects as they are in their impermanent and changing aspect. And then tasting the freedom that is our true nature, that is always present when only we realize it. In Sesshin, we open the Dharma eye We help this eye become sensitized to the light of knowing, of our own knowing, and the true, direct, undistorted experience in each moment. We get to clarify the Dharma eye and also get a look at the ego position and begin to develop reliable discernment in regard to this. When we recognize our limiting ideas about and instead experience directly, intimately, or as Evelyn Underhill states, totally dedicate attention to communion with the real. In that wonderful quote that Jogen read yesterday, we totally dedicate attention to communion with the real. We withdraw attention from all the mind-created forms of thought and feeling and plans and memories and projects. And we let go of the self-focus and can relax and release into unhindered body and breath, unhindered sound, spaciousness in all of this great simplicity. Into openness, dropping me, just for the time being, into the timeless, immediate, this room, this body, this breath. Just this, as is, what's referred to in Zen as suchness, the life of all things, animate and inanimate, the wordless poetry of just this, the shine on the wooden floor. The pain in the knee, or the back, or the neck. We call it pain, but actually, what is it? What shape? What color? What temperature? The scent through the open window. The sudden appearance of two deer in the field. The mud face on the trowel in the garden. A flash of something lying a little bit off to the side. Or that moment when you lift the cup with the chipped lip and take the first sip of peppermint tea. The crunch, the percussion as you bite into the crusty bread at dinner. That moment of utter presence, stepping on a pebble in bare feet. Or in the field during a break when the breeze cuts out and the air stands still. The navy blue sky at dusk. And that remarkable sudden moment when you feel the freedom of just being yourself. Nothing else calls. Nothing is missing. Complete. Or the timeless quality on the cushion when an enormity opens up. A great tenderness comes forward. All of these moments have nothing to do with time. They are the timeless, the small timeless, the vast timeless. That quality of utter release. That is a marker of our true nature. The thinking, the thought world that we all do is bound in time, is anything but direct. It has its place, and to be so blessed that we have been able to set aside this week to taste the timeless, to establish full recognition and realization of the timeless, is a great gift. This intimacy, this profound intimacy in a cynical world, profound simplicity in a world of infinite choices and complexity and confusion. This is indeed a great blessing that the Buddha was offering us, was sharing his realization of this very mind that we all have, this very heart mind that doesn't come and it doesn't go. It is perennial. This week is the time for the timeless, for the filling up and the emptying out So rarely do we get a chance to engage this dedication to communion with the real. We are really blessed. Besides this session, when will you have such perfect conditions to open into the empty field? Besides during session, when will you have this opportunity, this blessing, which brings with it a great responsibility not to waste a moment? So much effort already has been expended. So many circumstances have come together to allow you to receive this great gift of yourself, of your tree nature, of your mountain nature. So it is our responsibility to realize this timeless present, refresh and release all of your mind-tended burdens. So that when you return to the daily cacophony, the enormous suffering of the conditioned world, the mind-created confusion and competition, we can bring to mind from this base, this grounding in the groundless, in the timeless, we can bring a mind and heart that is warm and open and creative and flexible and encouraged, heartened. And we can bring a person of sanity to the collective. And becoming a person of sanity is no small contribution. So I urge you not to rush past this moment. Don't leap ahead. Allow the devout meditation heart to flower and abide right here in this timeless simplicity of the activity of each breath, each sound.